Welcome to the audio ministry of Advance Church. You're about to go on an exciting journey into the Word of God with Advance Church and Pastor Bruce Clark. Be prepared to be informed and inspired as God reveals more of Himself to you through His Word. Before we begin, let's pray. Father, thank you for sending your Word. Give us hearts to hear and faith to receive the things shared today. Open our eyes that we may behold the wondrous things out of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And now, here's Pastor Bruce Clark.
Amen. Well, last week, for those of you who were not here and those of you who were here, I came back with some things God said to me while I was away. And there were three things that God said we as a church needed to work on. One was willingness. That state of heart where we're willing to do what God calls us to do. The second one was, unfortunately, laziness, that there are some things that God has given you and you alone to do. And unless there is a diligent work associated with that thing, then it will not prosper. And God was saying to us last week that laziness gets in the way of our productivity. And the third thing that God said that we needed to work on as a local assembly, and I believe the church in general, is this sense that I do not want to be bothered. I don't want to be bothered. I've got my life. I've got my way. I've got my approach. Let me do it my way. I don't want to be bothered with your stuff. I got my own stuff to deal with. And today, I feel like the Lord would have me deal with that just a little bit more. Praise God. Because what we want is transformation. Praise God. I'm missing my board today. I was planning to write. But that's okay. That's okay, Elder. It's okay. It's okay. Oh, thank you, man of God. So listen to this. What God is saying in this moment in time is what He has already said in eternity. Right now, we are simply seeing what has already been said. Like the light from the stars long before we see it. You know, the light we see from the stars happened a whole lot longer than we see it now. The key is to keep looking so that we don't miss what God has already said. What is what was, and what shall be is what is. There's nothing new under the sun. But what we see under the sun has already been previewed in eternity. There are some things that are not flashing into the earth only for a moment, like a shooting star. There are some things, dearest people of God, that are eternally fixed, steadfast, and unmovable. They are timeless principles and patterns that govern God's creation. There is a truth that is absolute. And there are things that we can lock in on that will always work over time and that will also be true in eternity. What's God doing today? What truth can we embrace today? What's God doing in the earth? Take a look at the nation of Israel. Born in a day in 1948, Israel, the people of Israel were in these countries in Europe and around the world. And many of these countries had their own ethnic cleansings that they had gone through, their own civil wars, their own rebellion against other kingdoms that tried to invade them. And many of these nations were, in effect, protecting themselves and saw the Jewish people as a threat. And so you had Israel, the people of Israel, and all of these nations around the world as a nation within nations. I'm not justifying anything. I'm simply stating the facts. And so they decided that they wanted their own homeland. And they went through a process with Truman and a bunch of people to get that done in 1948. They possessed what they assumed to be their land. And now today, over 60 years later, they are one of the most powerful nations in the world. I'm not justifying any of their actions. I'm simply stating a fact. They're a nation that God is committed to. Now, the thing about Israel is that they are a prophetic picture, stay with me, to the church. That we can look at the nation of Israel and see what God really has in mind for his people. That when God called them, he called them to be a nation that would demonstrate to the world and bring to the world the plan and the glory of God. He called them to be a nation among nations where he could set forth, how are we doing? We're doing all right? The word of God is going forth. We could be a nation, that they were a nation in the midst of nations that were called to show forth God's glory. Pastor, why are you saying that? And what does that have to do with what we read? 1 Peter 2:9, I'm not going to read it right now. It says that you, me, we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That what God is doing, people of God, in the earth today is establishing his own nation. I'm not talking about some kind of political thing to establish. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what God is doing. What he's always wanted to do was to establish a people of his own. What Adam, what, imagine if Adam had never sinned. There would be generations of people who simply honored and glorified God. But what God did is he found the man through which he could establish his covenant with. And today we still see that promise being fulfilled. God's building a nation. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, he says that in the end times, he sees them coming from every tribe and from every nation. God is building a people. That in the midst of the nations, there is a holy nation. In the midst of all the peoples of the world, there is, the Bible calls us a peculiar people, a people of his own. People that have been called out, the church, the ones who have been called out to represent God's plan in the earth. God's building a nation. God is not simply building a series of individuals who have fulfilled their own destiny and purposes in their lives and they're doing great. God's building a nation. God is not simply looking at what Pastor Bruce or Bruce can do in the earth and blessing his plan, Bruce's plan, and blessing Bruce's family. He's doing that. But he's building a nation. And this truth is eternally fixed. This is something that's happened. That might be my phone. Pastor, turn your phone off. There is something God's doing in his people, and it's eternally fixed. God has a way. And I want to say to you today that not being bothered is not his way. It violates an eternal pattern of God in which he is building an interconnected people. The moment you and I say and choose to live in a mindset that says, I don't want to be bothered with you, I've got my own thing going on, we have stepped into the opposite of what God is doing in the earth. I don't want to be bothered. It's not just wrong, but it's fundamentally wrong. And it's eternally wrong. I don't want to be bothered. The interesting thing is, you know, I was just on the beach hanging out, praying, you know, listening to God and God sharing this with me. And I just communicated it last Sunday as I heard it. But the interesting thing was the number of people, including leaders, who said to me, "Pastor, that's me." If then we have, as a people, operated under the principle, false principle, that, hey, my life is mine. I don't want to be bothered with other people. Let me, you know, I'll deal with it when I can. Then what can we expect God to do among us like that? And if we have in us this thing that, hey, I don't want to be bothered with people, is there any surprise that there are not more people here? I don't want to be bothered is not just wrong. It's fundamentally wrong. And it's eternally wrong. And I'm asking you today to make the commitment to no longer live that way. I'm sent here as a man of God. Don't live that way anymore. You say, "Pastor B, I've been living this way my whole life. Oh, yeah, I can't change right now." Thus, the third thing God talked to us about, willingness. You see, if we just simply say, "God, I'm willing," He can work with that. I'm willing, God can work with that. The opposite of willingness is rebellion. And God will not work with that. So there is a more excellent way. I looked up the word bother. There are many definitions, but here's the one that I think applies to us. To intrude upon. Don't intrude upon my space. Don't intrude upon my life. Don't intrude upon my plan. Don't intrude upon my ideas. Don't intrude upon where I'm going. Don't intrude right now. I got some things going on. God does not ask or need your permission to intrude. God's intrusion is a sign of His grace. If you are doing whatever you want to do without the intrusion of God, there's something for which you need to repent. Oh, I'm going to say that again. God does not ask or need your permission to intrude. God's intrusion is a sign of His grace. If you are doing whatever you want to do without the intrusion of God, there is something for which you need to repent. If God is pulling your chain, you ought to say, "Lord, thank you." Because it means that His grace is still operational in your life. But the moment God stops calling you, the moment God stops intruding, oh, what a bad place to be in. And you can have millions and everything else, but that is the worst place to be. And so it is for the world. So it is for your neighbor. So it is for the Christian sitting next to you, that the worst thing you can do is not intrude in their lives. Now, people have a choice. They can say, "Hey, leave me alone." If you say, "Leave you alone," well, there you go. But the fact is that when we intrude, when we choose to get involved in the lives of other people, we are a manifestation of the grace of God in their lives. What would happen if the church was taken out of the world? Who was it that said the only thing, and I'm paraphrasing, but the only way evil will prevail if righteous men do nothing? We've got to be in the lives of other people. This is an eternal principle of God. But you see, what happens is the issue is one of rejection. Many of us, if not all of us, have been rejected in so many ways that when we start talking about interconnectedness and being a holy nation, all of those images of rejection come up. And we don't want to feel that way ever again. Anybody like that? I don't want to ever feel rejected. I don't want to feel it. But in my job, it's par for the course. It's just the way it is. And I've got every person who calls themselves to the ministry must understand that if Jesus was rejected, so will you be. So you got to count that cost before you step in these shoes. Listen to this principle. Whatever you reject decreases in value. Whatever you reject decreases in value. Whatever you receive increases in value. The reason why Ray Rice has more value to his wife than he has to others, because she's received him. Ray Rice does not have value among others because they reject him. If she would continue, however, to receive mistreatment, that mistreatment will increase. Whatever you reject decreases. To as many as receive him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. The reason why power is released is because in receiving Christ, his value to us increases. God does not show up around people who reject him because they are not ascribing value to him. Throughout the Old Testament, you see this principle. The eighth nation of Israel has forsaken God. They've forsaken him. They've rejected him. They've rejected him. God in a couple of places says, hey, what have I done to you that you would cause, that you would have to forsake me? I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me. If we choose now to reject people, watch this. Their value decreases. If people, for example, come in these doors and they say, well, I'm wearing a certain thing, or I'm looking a certain way, or I have a certain cultural expression, and we reject, they understand that their value is not appreciated, and they have no reason to be here. Now watch this. If in the house of God, we don't receive one another, we are saying you're not valuable. Because whatever you receive increases in value. When you do not want to be bothered, here's where we're going with that with someone. They decrease in value. When it is not a bother, you assign value, and that value increases. This is why all of us hate rejection, because rejection says to us, you do not have enough value. So in the house of God, in the holy nation that God is building, God calls us to first receive him, which means his ways, his patterns, his principles, how he does business, we receive. And when we receive the way God does things, it increases in value in our lives. But when we reject what God has said, then what God has said decreases in value in our lives. It becomes a vicious cycle, and boom, we're in trouble. There is a way which seem it right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So the question for us today is, will we receive or reject our brother, our sister? If you're not receiving them, you are, in effect, rejecting them. And the moment we say, I don't want to be bothered. Now, some of you are saying, well, Pastor B, what about all the circumstances in life? You know what to do. I don't have to deal with, well, what about when I'm tired? Or what about when I don't have any money? Or what about when I have other things to do? You know what to do. I don't have to answer that. Let's talk about the times when those extremes do not exist. And you simply say, look, it's not the way of God. And the kingdom of God will not grow when the people of God say, I don't want to be bothered. This is why condoning slavery by the church was so evil. I mean, you think about that. It's one thing. It's one thing for a culture, a group of people, a race of people to say, Sharon, you're not valuable. It's another thing when the church condones it. I mean, because if I can't be accepted in the house of God, if I cannot be accepted by God, where else is there for me to go? The worst things that ever happened in this country is not just slavery, but it was the church's condoning of it. Because, in effect, we said that God rejects you people too. Where else is there to go? But somebody found a way to call upon the name of the Lord and get value from the original source. Whatever God does not value is worthless. Oh boy, I'm laying some serious stuff on you in here today. Whatever God does not value is worthless from an eternal perspective. So here's the question from an eternal perspective. Here's the question for you and I. Is what you value valued by God? Whatever God values most is priceless. That's why you can look in the mirror every morning and say, baby, I'm priceless. Because he shed his blood for me. Whatever you reject decreases in value. Whatever you receive increases in value. Whatever God does not value is worthless. Whatever God values is priceless. There are eternal principles fixed, steadfast, and unmovable, not the least of which is that God is building a people. So I want to encourage you to do two things. Having said all of that, Reverend John, I want to encourage you to live your life without offense. Listen to this. You say, Pastor B, I know. See, the beauty of all of this is when God gives us these principles, we realize how much we can't do them, and thus, help me, Lord, which is the ultimate goal. Listen to this. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere, watch this, and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ. What if? What power would you have if you were never offended again? I'm telling you what, I know this is a stretch, but I'm working on it every day. People are rude, okay? they just jump in front of you. You know, get on the elevator while you standing right there to get on the elevator, and they won't say, hey, excuse me, or I'm sorry. I'm like, that's not how, that didn't happen in my neighborhood. You said excuse me or something. Oh, your mama came and said, boy, tell that lady, excuse me. So if we live with offense, we're going to be messed up. Because we're getting offended every single day, all day, by different kinds of people. And so I am learning by God's grace, because I'm a part of a holy nation and I have to deal with God's people, and I'm a part of what God is doing in the earth, and I want to follow his ways. I'm learning to let it go. Because I understand that if I live without offense, I increase my power. So ask the Holy Spirit, help me, Lord, not to be so offended with my brother or sister. Philippians 1 and 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ. The other thing I want to ask you to do, live your life without offense. The second thing, the last thing, is to live your life in fellowship with other believers. Consider Jesus, who says, lo, I am with you always. You see, the scripture we read in Hebrews 10 says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves as some, but exhort one another, so much more we see the day approaching. You see, as believers, we are called to live in fellowship with one another. And that notion of I don't want to be bothered works against God's plan. I know that there are some people who are in the body of Christ who have their relationship with God has stagnated simply because this one simple thing, they refuse to be close enough to someone in the body of Christ who can exhort them daily. I'm helping a brother who's dealing with pornography. I'm helping this brother. And I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you, you know, every now and then, every week, actually, I want you to tell me how many times you have slipped in that area. Now, there's a couple of things that have to happen in order for that to be true. Number one, he's got to trust me. If he has in his sense, he doesn't want to be bothered with me, he would never tell me that truth. So there is something in him that says I can trust him. There is something in me that says we have enough relationship for me to ask him that question. There's something happening between the two of us that says if this happens, this accountability is going to do something in my life. And because of that, this brother is getting delivered by the power of God. And it's not because I'm the mighty man of God with power and glory. It's because there's an eternal principle at work that that if you confess your faults one to another, you'll be healed. There's a person who many of you know who was getting high all the time. And I said to this person, I tell you what, every week I want you to tell me how many times you're getting high. And this person came one week and she had 35 or whatever the number was. It wasn't that big. But by the time the process was over, there was nothing. She hadn't done it at all. Why? Because God's building a holy nation. It's in the context of relationships that things get done. That's the whole ball game, people of God. The ball game is not you getting your destiny fulfilled. I have to tell you the truth. The ball game isn't, I got my destiny. I got my purpose. That's not the story. The story that God is building is I'm building a nation of people. They're coming from every tribe and every nation. And so the scripture we read is earlier says, consecrated for us. Let us draw near, having our hearts, our bodies washed. Let us hold to the profession of our faith. It's a nation, a people that God is building. And we either accept that or reject it. And whatever we reject decreases in value. And I want to tell you something. If the house of God does not have much value to you, if the people of God do not have much value to you, it is because you've rejected this principle. If the people of God have value to you, it's because you've received this principle. We reject, we receive. It's the whole story. The right way to live in the kingdom is in community, in the family of God, in the holy nation. This is eternally fixed in heaven. This means we cannot live without the sense that others are intruding in our lives, but that your life is a life with others. See, some of us got this stuff from our mamas and daddies and neighborhoods, and we got history. God gets it. But no one has been more rejected than God. So we got to understand that if we live these principles, we'll live. We'll live. So, as I bring this to a close, I want you to consider this. Everybody in heaven will want to be there. Nobody in heaven will be offended with anyone else. If we're talking about eternal fixed principles, these are the principles of life. These are the principles we can build on. These are the principles that cause us to prosper and be and strong in life when we connect to eternal principles that will not go away. This is where the life is. If, in fact, everyone in heaven will want to be there, then we need to begin to say, Lord, I want to be a part of what you're doing through your people. Because that's an eternally fixed principle in heaven. Nobody in heaven will be offended with anyone else. So we've got to learn that if that is an eternal fixed principle, that we will not be offended with anyone else. Just look to the person next to you and say, I forgive you. Go ahead. Just tell them, I forgive you. Even if you don't owe them anything, I forgive you. I forgive you. We got to let people off the hook, man. We can't live in offense. Everybody who knows me well say, I'm going to call you 30 times until you and I work it out. If there's an offense, it won't be because of me. We're going to work this thing out. We're going to work it out because you're my brother. You're my sister. I'm not just a pastor. I'm not, for those who see this, just a spiritual father. I am your brother. And together we're called. So nobody in heaven will be offended with anyone else. Watch this. Your eternal position and promotion will be determined by how you position yourself and promote others. Your eternal position and promotion will be determined by how you position yourself here on earth and how you promote others. I'll give you one more principle, and then we're done. God's ways are the only ways in heaven. So when you and I insist on our way, we are not living in an eternally fixed principle. God's ways are the only ways in heaven. So Jesus told us to pray this prayer. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth where as it is in heaven. This is what's happening in the earth. God is building his kingdom, building his nation so that his principles would be in the earth. Not the least of which, we are a holy nation. So we say, nevertheless, Lord, not our way, but your way. And not our will, but your way. I read the scripture in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. Listen to what the Lord says. For my people have committed two evils. Here are the two evils. Here are the two evils. Here are the two evils. Everybody with me? Or are you just relaxed and chilled? You with me? All right. For my people have committed two evils. One, they have forsaken me, God. And they have hewn out me, the fountain of living waters. And they have hewed them out cisterns that can hold no water. Two things. They've said no to my water, and they're trying to get their own. This is the whole story. God, we don't want your ways. We choose ours. And I don't want to be bothered is our way and not God's. Did everybody get a piece of the puzzle? Puzzle piece? Oh, you didn't pass them out? Oh, that's okay. I want to just take out one piece. Thank you, Joyce. It's all right. Thank you. Imagine holding a piece of the puzzle in your hands. Don't worry. Thank you. All right? This is you. This is me. We're all pieces of a puzzle. Now, does anybody know what this is other than a piece of a puzzle? What it is, what this represents, what this is? Anybody know? Huh? It's an individual. It's an individual piece, indeed. And what is it? Is it a car? Is it a AFI theater? It's unknown, right? I mean, you know it's an individual. It's an individual piece, but by its design, and you can't tell what this represents. You know, it's a part of a puzzle. Does this have any value at all? Yeah, it has some value, right? I mean, shucks, I paid for it. No. Just kidding. It has some value. This piece of the puzzle has value. What's its purpose? Its purpose is to connect with other pieces of the puzzle. And then over time, we see exactly what the puzzle is. And I want to suggest to you today that if I just gave this to somebody and said, hey, here you go, man. I wanted to give you a gift. And, you know, you've really been on my heart. And I know a lot of good's been going on in your world. And, you know, I see you serving for the kingdom of God, Sharon. You lead worship. And I've really been meditating and thinking about what to give to you. And this, Sharon, is I really thank you so much for your faithfulness to the kingdom of God. Now, it's true that it's the thought that counts. But Sharon is like, what? It has value. But not that much in and of itself alone. It's not until it gets connected that it fulfills its ultimate purpose. People of God in the body of Christ, we cannot choose and should not choose to say, well, look, I got my plan. I got my colors. I'm red and I'm brown and I got stripes. I'm good. That doesn't work in the kingdom of God. It's when the pieces of the puzzle come together that we can clearly see what God is doing. Because the puzzle is greater than the individual pieces. The puzzle is the thing that's telling the story. The individual piece is a piece of the story, but the puzzle tells the story. And me as an individual being blessed and prospered and happy is not the story. Which is why the world says, but there's something wrong with that picture. Just you. Okay, you know, so you're prosperous. You're prosperous. Okay, but so does the guy out there. And some of you have asked that question. Look, I mean, the people who are not living for God, they seem to be doing well too. They don't have all this drama with trying to connect with people in the church and give tithes and go to prayer meetings. And they're happy. But there's an eternity. There's a God, and there's a purpose, and there's a continual flow of life available to all of us. so that no matter what situations we face, we overcome. And that's greater than a house and a vacation, family. It's an eternal purpose for God over your life. As you and I commit to being pieces, as the scripture says, elder, jointly fit together. We're willing to say, I'm prepared to be bothered. I'm prepared to allow some intrusion in my life. We'll see. Many people come to the kingdom of God. But beyond that, the stuff that you and I grapple with that have nothing to do with the life of God starts dropping off. Because Reverend John read the scripture today in the men's prayer meeting that when brethren dwell together and sisterin dwell together in unity, the oil of God flows. The dew comes upon us.
We pray that you've been inspired by the message shared today and have become even more aware of the purpose God has for your life. You're always welcome to join our service. We'd love to see you. On Sundays at the AFI Theater in downtown Silver Spring, 8633 Colesville Road, near the intersection of Georgia Avenue. To find out more about the amazing things God is doing through Advanced Church, please visit our website at www.advancedchurch.org. And remember, it's your time to advance.